Hi there, and welcome back to this series on the core social psychology motives. And to the third part of this discussion around the second core social motive, understanding. Now, as usual, let's remind ourselves what is meant by understanding in the sphere of social psychology. And revisit Have, Ridgman, Have, and Westhoff's 2019 definition of the need for sharing meaning and prediction. How individuals, both on their own and indeed as a group, perceive the relatedness of their goals will heavily influence their view of the dynamics between each other. Are they in competition or cooperation? This is the concept of social interdependence theory. In 1989 and in 2007, Johnson & Johnson commented that social interdependence exists when the accomplishment of every individual's goals is affected by others' actions. Conversely, there's no interdependence if they believe others' goal achievements cannot or do not affect their ability to achieve their own goals. So basically, they don't need or depend on others to achieve their goals to be successful themselves. Deutsch likened such cooperation and competition to a positive and negative interdependence, pointing out that when you are positively linked to others, depending on their success for your own, you essentially rise or fall together. Now, naturally, this extends to if being negatively linked, for example, depending on their failure for your success, if they fall, you rise, and conversely, if they rise, you fall. Now, due to varying motivations and abilities, actions, not goals, relating to interdependence can be either effective or destructive, deliberate or unconscious, in nature, with the former improving likelihood of success and the latter not. When considering both goal and action interdependence, they can impact a number of basic social psychological processes, inducibility, cathexis, and substitutability. Now, inducibility is about the readiness to accept other a person's influence to do what that person wants, essentially being willing to take part in actions that are helpful. It is associated to substitutability, which allows you to accept the other's actions to fulfill your own wants and needs. Cathexis, however, is evaluative in nature. It talks to our predisposition to respond positively or negatively to aspects of ourself or our environment, effectively directing us to support beneficial actions and distance ourselves from harmful ones. And this is important when thinking about engendering support for changes we want to make. In the environment of organisation and change, there are many proponents of both competition and cooperation, each believing their choice is more effective within society and the workplace at achieving goals. And while support and consensus is increasing for cooperation and cooperative goal structures, see Kirstruck 2016, it's still going to be a balance depending on the particular area of focus. Positive competition for promotions, revenue generation techniques and targeted motivation, for example. Cooperative approaches for team goals, wider supply chain ecosystem interactions, and complex problem solving requiring multi-skill sets and collaborative execution. For a business to thrive, both are needed and typically visible. Without competition, stimuli are absent to perform at optimum efficiency and push into the unknown. And without cooperation, organisational functioning and combining team abilities to be the greater sum of their parts suffers. So to sum up, ideally the cooperation within a group that is socially cohesive to compete against other groups to create motivation to excel provides the best of both worlds where it is practical. And I say practical because it's not a universal formula. It doesn't work in organisations such as healthcare, for example. So now on to social exchange. This is a fairly simple concept of acting in expectation of reciprocity. At the centre of the psychology suggesting that interactions eliciting others' approval are more likely to be repeated. A form of conditioning. It even has a formula. So behaviour, which is the profit of the interaction, or triggered by the profit of the interaction, equals rewards of the interaction minus the costs of the interaction. Now, from a social psychology perspective, rewards are wide and varied, from social recognition to monetary compensation, or even just a smile or a handshake. Predictably, conversely, the costs are also wide and varied. In a similar vein, public humiliation, pay reductions or emotional displeasure and reprimand. In its simplest form, despite the fact that our brains consider the workplace as a social environment, firing in the same neural areas as social activities, our behaviours are guided by a social transactional continuum, in that we act and expect some form of reciprocity, whatever that may look like. This is, indeed, the same broad foundation that neuroscientific, emotionally intelligent communication models, such as SCARF, see David Rock 2009, are based on, a threat and reward responses. Understanding this, it should be clear from an organisation and change perspective that ensuring appropriate rewards are understood and that threats, costs in this case, are minimised in relation to relationships and activities necessary for successful change. Now, Mitchell and all in 2009 explained that sufficient participation in planned changes and fair decision-making processes are perceived by employees as a sign of leadership's appreciation and support, resulting in the employees reciprocating with favourable behaviour in support of the organisation and the changes being made. Well, that's it for this time. In the next part, we move on to the core motive of trusting, and the sub-elements of trust and attachment theory.